InshaAllah, there'll be a short lesson of hadith. Both the Sardar's hadith, we'll get Sardar Shirk at Salman, inshaAllah. Bye, dog. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم ما بعد Inshallah, we are going to be moving on to the next chapter of Riyadh Salihin, chapter 60. باب الكرم والجود والإنفاق في وجوه الخير ثقة بالله تعالى. Chapter is باب کے اندر امام نبوی رحمت اللہ علیہ سخاوت کے بارے میں کچھ احادیث لاتے ہیں. Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi brings some ahadith about generosity and karam. Karam is grace, nobility. So generosity goes with nobility and kind-heartedness. وَالْإِنْفَاقِ فِي وُجُوهِ الْخَيْرِ ثِقَّةً بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And to spend in good causes with full reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one is to be generous. However, a person fears that if I spend too much, then maybe my wealth will decrease. But when it comes to spending in good causes, sometimes you have to just, you have to just have blind faith. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it back to me and Allah ta'ala will increase it. And this is the way a person needs to spend. Otherwise, everybody's got needs and everybody's got other places where they can spend their money. They've got family, they've got house, business, many other needs, places where the money can be spent. But we still have to spend for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hoping that although I have little money, inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it back. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى بَعْدَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ وَمَا أَنفَقْتُم مِّن شَيْءٍ فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Holy Quran, بَعْدَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ وَمَا أَنفَقْتُم مِّن شَيْءٍ. Whatever you spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace it. That anything that is given in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not lost. It will return. And that's why giving in the path of Allah ta'ala, Allah ta'ala doesn't just call it infaq, but in other places Allah ta'ala calls it qard. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. Who is the one who will give Allah ta'ala a loan? Qard is a loan. And then فَيُضَاعِفَهُ لَهُ أَضْعَافًا كَثِيرًا. Allah ta'ala will give it back to you many, many times more than what you gave. The point is that what you give in the path of Allah ta'ala is not lost. Either you will see the return of it in this dunya, inshallah you will see the return of it in this dunya, and even if a person does not live long enough to see the return of it in the dunya, they will definitely see the return of it in the akhirah. And that's why in the hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, يقول ابن آدم مالي مالي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, hadith Qudsi. The son of Adam says, my money, my money. وَمَا مَالُكَ يَبْنَ آدَمْ إِلَّا مَا أَكَلْتَ فَأَفْنَيْتَ أَوْ لَبِسْتَ فَأَبْلَيْتَ أَوْ تَصَدَّقْتَ فَأَمْضَيْتَ. The son of Adam, he says, my money, my money, my money, my money. This is mine, this belongs to me, my house, my car, my this, my phone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh son of Adam, what is really your money? Except for that what you've eaten and you've digested is gone. أَوْ لَبِسْتَ فَأَبْلَيْتَ. You've worn something, clothing, and it's become worn out and tattered. It's gone, finished. Or أَوْ تَصَدَّقْتَ فَأَمْضَيْتَ. Or what you spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you send that ahead for yourself in the akhirah. That's your actual wealth. That's your actual capital. That's your actual currency or your money which you have saved for yourself in the Akhirah. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَلِأَنفُسِكُمْ وَمَا تُنْفِقُونَ إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يُوَفَّ إِلَيْكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تُظْلَمُونَ. And in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَلِأَنفُسِكُمْ. Whatever you spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, min khayrin, in any avenue of khayr, in any path of goodness, in any good cause, this is for yourself. You think you're helping someone else, the greatest beneficiary is yourself. That's the reality. Because Allah Ta'ala does not need me to feed His makhluk. Allah doesn't need me to look after His creation. Allah Ta'ala is going to look after His creation. Jai al-khalqu iyalullah. The entire family is Allah Ta'ala's creation. وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. Anything that moves on the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's responsibility, it is Allah Ta'ala's responsibility to feed it, to provide for it. So me giving food packages here, and giving donations here, and helping out a homeless person here, I think I'm helping other people. Allah Ta'ala is the one giving them the risk, I'm actually helping myself. So there should be no pride, no arrogance. Okay, if I did not help you, you know what would happen to you today. If I did not financially assist you, then you would have been in a very difficult situation today. Who are you? Who am I? My money is Allah's. I am Allah's. Everything belongs to Allah Ta'ala. Me helping that person is Allah Ta'ala's kindness upon me, that Allah has given me the ability to help them. So I can build my own Jannah. So Allah Ta'ala can be pleased with me. So we never look at it from Ana. Me. We always look at it from Allah Ta'ala's favor, Allah's kindness. Like in Urdu they say, Pattab bi negirta Allah Ta'ala ki hukam ke baghir. Not even a leaf falls without the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything, every movement, every word, every statement, all Allah ta'ala's plan, we are just carrying it out. Like you say, we see the pixel, Allah ta'ala sees the picture. We see a pixel and we think we understand everything. But Allah ta'ala has the whole picture. Allah ta'ala knows everything that's going on. So Allah ta'ala says, وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَلِأَنفُسِكُمْ. Whatever you spend in good causes, this is going to be for yourself. You're going to benefit only yourself. وَمَا تُنْفِقُونَ إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ. And you should not spend in the path of Allah Ta'ala unless it is to seek the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Never ever give anything where you know your intention is wrong. Always check your intention. Don't have a bad intention. Intention is so hard. So hard to get the correct intention. Shaykh Muhammad Awam Hafidhullah was reading somewhere where he was saying, you know, intention, this discussion is something that we always talk about, every book of hadith, everywhere in the Quran, in the Sunnah, niyyah. Without intention on the day of Qiyamah, we will stand without anything. Without a good intention means to do it for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, khalas, nothing else. I'm only doing it for the sake of Allah. Kindness for the sake of Allah, salah for the sake of Allah, ibadah for the sake of Allah, wearing sunnah libas for the sake of Allah, wearing amama for the sake of Allah. If somebody is saying, I'm wearing it because I also need to impress upon people my piety, my religiosity. Although ulama have mentioned, here, this is another point, ulama have mentioned, if a person wears clothing of a garb of an alim, not to show off, but with the intention, okay, if people have any questions, they know I'm the person to ask. Then that's also fine. They've mentioned this point. But anyway, if a person's intention is not for the sake of Allah, but again, this is for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So when people are in need of finding guidance in regards to Allah Ta'ala's deen, they know there's a place to come. I don't have to wander around without any answers. The point is, our actions are only going to be accepted if they're for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. All sadaqah, charity. So the best type of charity is that which is given hiddenly. You don't disclose it. You don't tell anyone about it. Give so much. One of the seven people who will be under the shade of Allah Ta'ala's arsh is who? The one who spends so much that his right hand does not know what his left hand has spent. His left hand does not know what his right hand has spent. He can't keep track himself. He doesn't make a big deal of it. Allah Ta'ala has given me money. I've spent it. Alhamdulillah. It's gone where it's gone. Don't need to talk about it. Don't need to discuss it. Let's move on to the next deed. Not fixate on, oh yes, alhamdulillah, I've done myself a very good thing, I've spent this much money. And similarly, reminding other people of favors, mannan. One of the people who will be punished in the grave, person who goes around and says, oh, you know, I did this for you, I did that for you, I did this for you. So if you remember, you've got a whole log of how many people you did favors for, then when did you do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Trying to impress people, trying to make people happy, trying to get people in our good books. All of these, unfortunately, Allah Ta'ala protect us. If we have these kind of intentions, then our charity is not written as charity. It's written as some form of self, you know, egotism, or making myself more popular or more liked. It's not for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. On the day of Qiyamah, there's nothing there. The three people that will stand, famous hadith, on the day of Qiyamah, one a great alim, one a very rich person, one a mujahid, and all of them will say, Ya Allah, oh, I taught people your deen, so you can be pleased with me. Allah Ta'ala will say, you're a liar, you're lying. You taught people deen so that people will say, you're a great alim, you're a close saint of Allah Ta'ala. Another person will say, oh Allah, I spent in your path so that so that you become pleased with me. Allah Ta'ala will say, you're a liar. You spent so people say you're very generous. Another person will say, oh Allah, I went in jihad, where I gave my life, energy, such a great action. Allah, so that for your sake, Allah Ta'ala will say, no, you went, you're a liar, you went because you wanted people to call you brave and courageous, this and that. And he will be taken, put into Jahannam. His actions will mean nothing. Allah Ta'ala forgive us. So, وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يُوَفَّ إِلَيْكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تُظْلَمُونَ. After mentioning this point, Allah Ta'ala says, whatever you spend in any good cause, يُوَفَّ إِلَيْكُمْ, it will be given back to you in full. Anything you give for the sake of Allah Ta'ala will be returned back to us in full. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تُظْلَمُونَ. Allah Ta'ala will not keep anything from you. Whatever you give, ek paisa bhi Allah Ta'ala ke raaste mein kharch kare, wo bhi Allah Ta'ala wapas karenge. Koi aisi cheez nahi hai ki Allah Ta'ala apne paas rakh lenge ki bhai nahi aapko nahi milega wapas. Allah Ta'ala will give it back dugna sugna karke Allah Ta'ala wapas denge. Allah Ta'ala hame chahte hain ki hum Allah ke raaste mein kharch kare taaki Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala isko mazid iska jo hai izafa karke isko hamare paas wapas kare duniya ke andar aur aakhirat mein bhi. وقال تعالى وما تنفقوا من خير فإن الله به عليم. Allah Ta'ala says, whatever you spend from any good, in any good cause, surely Allah Ta'ala knows about it. Inshallah, we'll do a few ahadith from this chapter. Like I mentioned, this chapter is about generosity, spending in good causes, and the third point, which is a very important point, is reliance on Allah Ta'ala. How many people say, if I have money, I would spend? Which is a good point, right? If you have money, you spend. If you don't have enough money, I've had to advise certain family members recently as well. You're buying a well in Bangladesh, you're spending on an orphanage here, you're doing this here, you don't have money to pay the bills. What are you playing at? This is foolishness. Allah Ta'ala does not, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى تَهْلُكَةٍ. Don't destroy yourselves with your own hands. In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala tells us, when you spend in the path of Allah Ta'ala, don't spend in such a way where you've totally opened your hands and you've given everything away, and now you're going to be forced to go begging to other people. Oh, you're going to regret your decision to spend in the path of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Give, but give happily. Give in a way you can afford, in a way that you can afford to give. So that's one side of it. The second side of it is not, sometimes we have to take small risks. Not big risks, small risks. A person says, you know what, I have a very, low paid job. I don't have that much income. So you don't have to give so much in the path of Allah. Give a little bit. You don't hesitate when you have to go and spend £10 on a takeaway burger meal. Okay. You know what, if I went and bought the cheap burger from there, it'd be £3-4. But you know what, that new place that's opened up, £10-15. I won't pay £15, but it's going to be a delicious meal. I'll just spend it. Your low income job doesn't stop you from going to the £15 burger place. It's true, isn't it? We go and do it. So why don't we take these small kind of risks for our akhirah? We've got income coming in. We know we can. We've got this little bit of income, which I can afford to give £5 in the path of Allah. I can afford to give £1 in the path of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. I say, you know what? Inshallah, Allah, give me money so I can give. In the meantime, I'm eating all my takeaways, I'm buying the expensive drinks, I'm wearing the expensive watch and the clothes and the this and the that. I'm doing all of that. But when it comes to spending in the path of Allah Ta'ala, I really look deep into my finances. And I say, yeah, this is not going to work out. I don't have enough money to spare. So this is our mentality. That's what Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi is saying here. Sometimes rely on Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Okay, you know what, I'll spend a little bit in the path of Allah Ta'ala, it will surely come back to me. Give, spend. It's a zaman now where people are not willing to spend. How many people come for chanda? This is such a good opportunity. Masjid, madrasa, orphanage, this, that, in our masjid. We'll just walk past. Or we'll spend somewhere else. Don't want to give it to these people, don't want to give it to that people. Excuse after excuse after excuse, in the end we give it to nobody. And those who give, they give to everybody. That's the reality, the quality of generosity. I've seen this in subhanAllah, some of the ulama. Anyone comes, not only will they give in the chanda, they will say, the alim, you have to come to my house, you have to eat, you have to do this, you have to do that. There's just this quality of generosity. And it's taught, you have to acquire it. That's why sitting in the company of pious people is very important. To learn how to be generous, but not to be foolish. If you sit in the company of the rich people, they might teach you generosity, but with the wrong intention. So you might pick that up. You know what, if I give £10, someone's going to say I'm stingy. Someone's going to say I'm a cheapskate. I have to say £100. So it's not for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, it's for the so that people don't call me stingy or cheapskate. So if I sit in the company of the wrong people, I'll understand generosity entirely in a cultural manner. We've got this in our culture. You don't know culture. You don't give £20 there, it's embarrassing. You're supposed to give £50 here, you're supposed to give £100 here, you're supposed to give... Who made these laws? Who invented these rules? That you're supposed to. Give whatever is in your capability, give wholeheartedly, don't give for the sake of impressing so-and-so, give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshallah there'll be goodness in that. Your purposes will be met in that. People will be happy, the hearts will be warmed. But if you say, no, I can't. Someone said to me once, you know, whenever I go to a wedding, I have to give £100. I can't give less than £100. So why are you making these rules up? I said, I give whatever I can, whatever I have the ability to give, as a gift. It's not some kind of tax. It's a tax, wedding tax. That you go there, you have to give that £100, otherwise. So there, where's the ikhlas? Where's the sikh? So unfortunately, our spending has now come down to this. All of our actions have come down to this. Whatever will impress people the most, we will do it. There is no even, you know, shaiba or a kind of thought process of, is it for the sake of Allah Ta'ala? No, it's just culturally whatever's right, culturally whatever's acceptable, whatever's going to impress people, make people happy, not make people think of me as low or inferior or strange or awkward or stingy or whatever. I'm just worried about my whole world is based around what people think of me. That's it. And if my, I was Allah-centric, everything was focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have zero consideration for what people think, what people are doing. I do whatever I have to do. My destination is Jannah and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and my guide is the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm not going to do anything which is against or opposed to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm not going to keep moving. Inshallah, Allah ta'ala will put barakah in whatever I do, whatever I can give. وعن ابن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا حسد إلا في اثنتين رجل آتاه الله مالا فسلطه على هلكته في الحق ورجل آتاه الله حكمة فهو يقضي بها ويعلمها متفق عليه ومعناه ينبغي ألا يغبط أحد إلا على إحدى هاتين الخصلتين. سيدنا عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه ما رواية سيدنا عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه رواية فرماته رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إرشاد فرمايا حسد لفظ بھی استعمال کر لے ہم. حسد کسی شخص کے بارے میں کرنا جائز نہیں ہے سوائے دو شخص, لیکن یہ حسد جو ہے حرام والی حسد نہیں ہے. اسی لیے عربی میں دو لفظ ہے, ایک ہے حسد اور ایک ہے غبتہ. حسد کا مراد یہ ہوتا ہے کہ آپ چاہتے ہیں کہ کسی دوسرے کے پاس جو اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی نے کسی دوسرے کو نوازا ہے وہ اس سے چلا جائے اور اس کے پاس نہ رہے. اور غبتہ کا مطلب یہ ہے کہ اللہ تعالیٰ اس کو بھی برکت دے اس میں اور مجھے بھی اللہ تعالیٰ وہ کرنے کی توفیق دے, یا اللہ تعالیٰ اس کو مجھے بھی عطا فرمائے. تو غبتہ جو ہے بعض دفعہ مباح ہوتا ہے اور بعض دفعہ جو ہے مستحب ہوتا ہے. مباح مطلب کوئی اچھی چیز ہے, اللہ تعالیٰ کسی کو کوئی اچھی کمائی دے دی, پیشہ دے دی, میرے پاس فی الحال پہ پیشہ نہیں ہے, کمائی نہیں ہے, تو میں سوچوں کہ الحمدللہ اللہ تعالیٰ اس کو بھی برکت دے رہا ہے, اللہ تعالیٰ مجھے بھی دے دے اسی کوئی کمائی, اسی کوئی پیشہ. جی کسی کو کوئی مکان مل گیا, چار بیڈ روم والی, پانچ بیڈ روم والی, ماشاء اللہ اس کی تمام جو ہے ضروریات پوری ہو گئیں, اللہ تعالیٰ مجھے بھی دے دے. تو یہ ایک ہے جو ہے مباح غبتہ ہے, اس میں کوئی جو ہے گناہ کی بات نہیں ہے. اور ایک ہے حسد کہ کسی کو بس مکان آ گیا, اس کو کیوں ملا, مجھے کیوں نہیں ملا, اس سے کسی طرح اس سے جو ہے ختم ہونی چاہیے. جب تک اس کے پاس مکان ہوگا میں خوش نہیں ہوں گا, جب اس کا چہرہ میں دیکھوں گا دل کے اندر جلن ہوگی, یہ حسد. اور مستحب غبتہ یہ جو اس حدیث کے اندر نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ارشاد فرما رہے ہیں, اس کی تلقین و ترغیب دے رہے ہیں کہ جو مستحب اور اچھی اور دینی غبتہ ہے وہ یہ ہیں کہ دو شخص کے متعلق, ایک شخص جس کو اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ نے مال عطا فرمایا, اور ہم اس لیے غبتہ نہ کریں کہ جو اس کے پاس مال ہے مجھے پاس بھی مال ہونی چاہتا کہ میں بھی کوٹھی خرید لوں, گاڑی خرید لوں, یہ وہ, لیکن اس کے پاس مال ہے اور وہ اللہ تعالیٰ کے راستے میں خرچ کر رہا ہے, اور میں سوچیا اللہ مجھے بھی اگر اس طرح دے دیتے تو میں بھی اللہ کے راستے میں خرچ کرتا اور میں بھی اس جیسے جو ہے نیک اعمال بھی کما لیتا. It's a very tricky one. People don't have this intention. We see someone with wealth, we're not even looking at where they're spending it in a good path. We just want that wealth so we can spend it in the wrong way. Sure, let me finish the Urdu explanation. وَرَجُلٌ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ حِكْمَةً, اور دوسرا شخص جس کو اللہ تعالیٰ نے علم دین سے نوازا ہے, اور اس شخص اللہ تعالیٰ کی اس دی ہوئے علم کے ساتھ لوگوں میں فیصلہ کرتا ہے, اچھا برائی کا فیصلہ کرتا ہے اور لوگوں کو سکھاتا ہے. تو اس شخص کے بارے میں بھی قبطہ کرنا جائز ہے کہ ماشاء اللہ اللہ تعالیٰ نے اس کو بہت علم سے نوازا ہے, اللہ تعالیٰ مجھے بھی ایسا علم دے دیتا تو میں بھی میرا آخرت بھی کما لیتا اس سے دوسروں کو سکھا کے پڑھا کے. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Masud radiyallahu anhu is narrating Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, there is no hasad. And I just want everyone to understand this point. You can't do hasad apart from in regards to two people. Now this word hasad, I just explain how in Urdu. Hasad means jealousy. Jealousy mutlaqan, totally, entirely is not jais. It's one of the worst base attributes a person can have. However, it's one of the most common ones due to which frictions, problems, issues happen. Hatred. I'm smiling at my brother here, where in my heart I despise him because he has something I don't have. That's hasad. Silent enemy. It's like a snake. You're smiling at someone, but you hate them. That's why in Surah Al-Falaq, Allah Ta'ala tells وَمِنْ شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ. And this is the tafsir we're doing upstairs. That I seek Allah Ta'ala's protection from the hasid, from the jealous person. And the ulama mentioned under this point, one of the main reasons why there is enmity between people is because of hasad, jealousy. Happens with those who are close to you. If I walk down the street and I see a random person with some nice house, nice car, it doesn't bother me. But if I see my friend I went to school with, I did this with, I'm driving a car which is going duck, and it's black fumes are coming out, and someone else is driving a supercar, I'm thinking, how did this? But the same. What happened here? I was more clever, I got better grades. I have better prospects in life. What happened to him? He's got married, he's got children, I can't get married yet. Hasad comes in here. I've been married for ages, I don't have any children. Hasad comes in here. This is where hasad comes in, and hasad can cause the evil eye, hasad can cause so many issues. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that innal hasada ya'kulu al-hasanat kama ya'kulu an-naru al-hatab. That hasad, jealousy, consumes your good deeds, totally finishes your good a'mal, the same way fire burns firewood. جس طرح آگ جو ہے لکڑیوں کو جلا ڈالتا ہے, اسی طرح حسد انسان کے نیک اعمال کو جلا ڈالتا ہے. So this is why it's very very important we always اپنے آپ کو ٹٹو لکھے, why am I feeling this anger towards this person? It's probably because they have something that I don't have. Straight away say, who gave them that thing? Allah Ta'ala gave them that thing. So am I angry with him? Or am I angry with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's faisala and judgment that Allah did not give me but gave to him? So this is how we need to mentally, stop shaitan and stop our nasr before they attack us so deep. And we can't. As a story, I give Hazmat Bayz here. I always mention these in classes. I remember when we were studying in madrasa, two boys, they started Hifz of Quran together. And they had a competition, held a competition, year 7. We're going to become Hafiz, let's see who goes ahead. Very, good boys, they used to always be reciting Quran and always. One was very clever, and he was just zooming ahead, and the other one was very behind, and he just didn't know what to do. The best friends, they're eating from the same plate, their beds are next to each other, they, wake up at the same time, go downstairs at the same time, revise at the same time, but one of them is just zooming in his hips, going forward so quickly, and the other one is just stuck. And slowly, first it starts off as, okay, my friend's going ahead, I wish him well, but then I can't catch up to him, so then that thought process or those emotions change into jealousy. You know what he started to do? He used to know what his friend Sabak was, they used to sit together. He used to rip out the pages of the Quran that boy had to go and read, so then the boy has to have the confusion of things like this. He used to put stuff in his shoes, he used to put stuff in his bed. Children, but this is what hasad does. And he says, best friend, this is his best friend. So he says, someone's ripped out my pages of the Quran. He goes, oh, who would do something like that? That's such a bad thing to do. That's so haram, that's so sinful, the children. But he's the one who's done it. But the reality is hasad is such a dangerous quality. In the end, these are two people who I know very well. One of them became Hafiz very quickly, in 1 year, 2 years. The other one didn't become Hafiz all the way till year 11 and then he left. Didn't become Hafiz, didn't finish. Must set the building on fire one time and then I think he got expelled and I don't know what happened, which tangent he went off. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Hasad is so dangerous. Till today his parents, till today his father, whenever I meet him, please do dua for my son, he's gone off the rockers. So now he's obviously in his 30s. But this is hasad, dangerous. So many examples are like this. Anyway, Rasul, one is hasad, jealousy is haram. Second one is envy. Now envy, you can have a envy can also be regarded as hasad. I'm envious of a person and I don't want that person to have that good thing in their life anymore. Second is a permissible envy, which is, you know, a certain person has more wealth than me, or a certain person, Allah has blessed them with that. You know, if Allah Ta'ala gave me that, then inshallah, you know, it would also meet my needs as well. No problem. It's okay to have. Although some ulama have said we shouldn't, because that's desire of worldly things. Leave our risk in the hands of Allah. Allah will give you what He's supposed to give you when you're supposed to get it. And the final is envy, which is recommended. That we are supposed to be envious of these two people. In this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions two people that we should be envious of them. Whenever we see them, we should want to be just like them. What's the first person? Rajulun ata. Who's the first person? Rajulun atahu Allahu malan. A person who Allah Ta'ala has blessed with wealth. فَسَلَّطَهُ عَلَىٰ هَلَكَتِهِ فِي الْحَقِّ. And he spends it in good causes, in good avenues. He spends it in charity. He gives it here, he gives it here. I should be envious of him. I was explaining here in Urdu, we're envious that he's got money. We don't even look at where he spends it. We're envious that Allah has given him money and he's getting so much good. Look from the Sahaba, Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. So because of his sahawa, because of his generosity, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the battle of in the expedition of Hunain, Tabuk, when Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu came and he gave so much wealth, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so happy. He said, after today, whatever Uthman does, it doesn't matter anymore. Through his sakhawa, through his generosity, he has attained such a high position that after today, whatever Uthman does, it does not matter anymore. Who's saying this? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So envious of someone, Allah has blessed them with wealth and they just spend it all in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing this good cause, that good cause, helping these people, helping that person. Everyone you speak to, they say, I go to this person for help and they help. And he doesn't tell anyone what he does. You just go to him, he helps. Sakhawa, generosity. So this envious of that person, I wish Allah Ta'ala blessed me with money so I could also spend like this person, so I could also be beloved of Allah Ta'ala, inshallah, like this person is. And the second person, رَجُلٌ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ حِكْمَةً, a person who Allah Ta'ala has blessed with knowledge of deen. Hikmah, knowledge of deen. فَهُوَ يَقْضِي بِهَا, he uses that knowledge to judge between people and to guide people to the right, to the right thing, to the haqq. وَيُعَلِّمُهَا, and he teaches people knowledge of deen. So being envious of this person, I wish Allah Ta'ala bless me with knowledge of deen so that I can also serve the creation of Allah Ta'ala, so that Allah Ta'ala can be happy with me. So the two qualities mentioned here are very beloved in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Charitable person, a person who Allah blesses, a rich person who spends in the path of Allah Ta'ala excessively, and an alim of deen who is constantly busy and engaged in spreading deen and talking to and guiding people and helping people and assisting people. And in other narrations also, رَجُلٌ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْقُرْآنِ is mentioned. A person who Allah Ta'ala has blessed with the Qur'an. فَهُوَ يَقُومُ بِهِ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ وَآنَاءَ النَّهَارِ. And day and night he is constantly engaged in reciting the Qur'an. Allah has blessed him with the Qur'an and he's not, you know, left it on the shelf with dust gathering on it, but he's constantly busy reciting it by day and by night. These are three people. The point is, the reason why is Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling us we should be envious of them, meaning these people have very high maqam in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very high status in the sight of Allah. One is a rich person, so wealth is not always a bad thing for the right people, but for the wrong people. So in Tirmidhi Sharif there's a hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, you know, a person who, and he mentions four types of people when it comes to wealth. And he mentions the best person when it comes to wealth is someone who Allah Ta'ala has blessed with a lot of wealth. He knows how to use it for right causes. One is a person is blessed with wealth, they're generous, but they don't have knowledge of how to use it properly. So they misspend it, using the wrong causes, cause fitna with it, create problems with it, start different organizations which become a fitna for the ummah. So many cases like this. People say, you know what, I've got lots of wealth, I'm going to start scholarships to fund Muslims to go and study. Okay, so you're going to free scholarships. There are organizations like this. Now, who are you going to fund? People want to get into journalism, people want to get into this, we want Muslims in all fields. Now you see those Muslims taking advantage of those scholarships are so far away from deen, but this person, bichara, he doesn't have knowledge. He doesn't know that these people are not going to be an asset to the ummah.
If he knew that these people were not going to be an asset to the ummah, he would not have, you know, placed his akhirah on this particular thing. He'd have known, I need to spend it on right causes, causes which are going to benefit me, benefit the ummah, which is not going to be a fitna for the ummah. Now all these people, they're going and doing degrees, and they've gone through the interest route, they've done everything. Now when it comes to masters, they think, you know what, I don't want to add more debt. Oh, there's a scholarship here, it's a halal scholarship, this foundation, that foundation. And I'll just go there and say, yeah, there's not enough Muslims in the film industry or something, so I'm going to go in the film industry, I'm going to proclaim Islam there, I'm going to preach Islam there, will you sponsor me? Say, yeah, we've never sponsored anyone. And they say things like, you know what, we don't want any more Muslims in the Islamic studies field. They say, we don't want any more Muslims in the Islamic studies field because we've sponsored too many of them. Too many of them is probably about, you know, 100 of them from the good 500-600 of them that they sponsor every year. 500-600 are sponsored every year, but we've sponsored too many Muslims who are going into MA and PhD in Islamic studies. We don't need that stuff. We need Muslims in film, Muslims in journalism, Muslims in here, Muslims in there. Okay, khair. But have you checked to see if those are the right people to go into journalism? People so far away from deen, one look at their bio tells you they don't know nothing about anything. But we're sponsoring these people. So the point is, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, you have to have knowledge of how to use your money wisely in the path of Allah Ta'ala. And thirdly, he uses his money wisely in the path of Allah Ta'ala and he spends. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, this is the best type of person. Hadith of Tirmidhi. The words are not clearly coming to my mind at this moment in time. But anyway, these are people that we need to look up to, want to be like. Person who Allah has blessed with wealth. Secondly, a person who Allah Ta'ala has blessed with ilm. But what type of, there's so many people who have ilm. Nowadays there are so many young people who want to learn ilm, and this is not new. This phenomenon is very old. As old as scholarship goes. People want to learn ilm because they see a very big scholar who has thousands and thousands of students, and they say, I want to be like that person. He's very famous. Celebrity. Every time he comes in, everybody stands up. Everywhere he goes to eat, people are just feeding him. I'm going to gain ilm to be like that person. And that's, it's happening now. There's so many big YouTube sheikhs. I'm going to start my YouTube channel. Hadith, Quran, TikTok, reading Quran all day long so that people subscribe to me. So that eventually I can become like big celebrity sheikh. So this has always been there. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not talking about ilm for popularity. Alimun Abir. You know, I was reading about Hazrat Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madani rahmatullahi alayhi. Great saint of Allah. And he really makes us embarrassed at my own state. He would sit in Masjid al-Nabawi. And his biography is amazing. He would sit in Masjid al-Nabawi every day delivering 14 lessons. Each lesson probably about half an hour to 40 minutes. In Masjid al-Nabawi. 10 to 14 lessons a day. He wouldn't take a penny for any of the lessons. That's it. Every day Masjid al-Nabawi. He said, I said to my wife, my children, you know, are you okay to hand me over for the sake of Allah? They said, yes, go. And they would get married in the family. You know, they say people getting married to cousins. Oh, what is this weird custom? They will get married in their family because they know nobody else is going to have the same kind of understanding of deen and the seriousness of deen than other people in our own family, because our tarbiyah has been like this. We have been nurtured like this to understand that deen is the most important thing. Wealth and money Allah Ta'ala will give. Haji Abdul Wahhab Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, he didn't want to get married. He stayed in Raibun Markaz, he didn't want to get married. People were pressuring him to get married. You have to get married. He got married. He said, I got married to such a good lady. I said to her, please allow me to give my life for the sake of Allah Ta'ala's deen. She said, go. That's it. He said, I never saw her again. He said, she used to live with my mum. I used to live in the Markaz. She passed away and I was just there in Markaz. They gave their life for Allah Ta'ala's deen. No worldly motive. Anyway, Hazrat Hussain Ahmad, he said, I tell my family, that's it. So the only time I would get up from my class is sometimes I'm there teaching in Masjid al-Nabawi, and he had the biggest gathering in his time. He taught over 12 years in Masjid al-Nabawi. He had the biggest gathering. All the shuyukh that, see, even now you go Mecca and Medina inside of Masjid al-Nabawi, you see the different sheikhs with their halaqas. He had the biggest halaqa. His dars would be in pure Arabic, and he was an Indian. And there was so much jealousy. He mentioned in the biography, there was so much jealousy. Because the students that were sitting in the gatherings of the other sheikh, the most talented ones, he said other gatherings would be big because of how many awam there were there, how many lay people. But all the talented students, they would all come to me because they would realize that this is where the deep, you know, ilm is, knowledge is. So they would all come here. And there was a lot of jealousy, he said, and there were so many things which were being said. He's not Arab, he's not this, he's not that. He said, but I kept on teaching for the sake of Allah. The only time I would get up is when my father, he was building a house, and then he would send someone saying, there's no laborers today, nobody's working, I need you to come and help me. He said, I just stopped my dars there, I need to go, I need to help my dad build his house. And he would just go. So otherwise I would continue my dad. Sometimes, you know, my father was building the house, it took many days, so for a few weeks I had to take off classes, help him, you know, building the house. There's so many lessons we learn from here, teaching deen for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. When he went to Darul Deoban, they started giving him a wage, small wage, very small wage, but he was so ashamed. So many years of my life I taught without taking a single penny. And then he would, whenever people would come to him and say, Shaykh, please can you take me into your bay'ah, and please can you help me, please can you, he would say, why are you coming to me? Go to Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakariya in Saharanpur, he doesn't take a penny for teaching hadith. And I am dunya ka kangal hu, I'm you know, lalichi hu. I am someone who has so much love of dunya, I am, you know, sucking the wealth from people and in exchange for teaching them hadith. Go to someone who teaches hadith for free, they're more deserving of you going to them. So look how much guilt he used to feel at taking this slight peanuts, you can say, just to look after his family and meet the needs of the family. These are people who are beloved in the sight of Allah. So all these things are going on. Allah Ta'ala protect us. And I ask everyone to make dua for me. Allah Ta'ala make it such. I mentioned last time, one of the great ulama of India, I forgot who it was, he came to our madrasa. And he's elderly, whether it was Mawlana Ibrahim Dawlasab or someone else. And he was just saying, you know, Talib ilmu, make dua to Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala makes you independent of teaching in return for other people's money. He said, I used to, for many years, I taught in a madrasa, I took a wage. And I used to always do dua, Ya Allah, I don't want this. I don't want my money to be replaced with financial gain. Ustad Mufti Kram al Hatsab, Hafidhullah, used to mention this all the time. Bhai, ye jo milta hai aapko imamat ki wajah se, ya, you know, tankha, ye jo kuch, ye bas soch liya karo ke ye ek hadiyah hai Allah Ta'ala ki taraf se, isko tankha kabhi mat shumar karna. Ki mera tankha hai, my wage. Young ulama, you talk to me, I said, job, where do you work? Work, work. This word work should not be associated with khidmat of deen. I'm doing a service of deen. Whatever I get financially was never the purpose. This is just so I can meet, what is it? I can make my ends, what do they say? Make ends meet. That's the only reason why this is coming in. But that's not my purpose. When my eyes goes in that, oh, that's not big enough. I need it to be bigger. I need to do this, I need to do that. Everything will go in there. That Ustad would say, always think this is just a gift they're giving to me on the side. That's not my purpose. I'm doing it for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. And he would say it with such dukh and sadness, and I would see in him. And my ustad, you know, his zuhud and his tawadu is in front of our eyes, Mufti Kamal Haqsab, hafidhahullah. But this is reality. So this great scholar from India, he was saying, I used to always make dua to Allah Ta'ala, oh Allah, please. I really don't want to do this. I've been teaching for years and I just feel, you know, my a'mal are being wasted, my teaching is being wasted because I'm taking money in return for it. Although it's permissible to take it. But the point is, this is for my akhirah. When I die in my grave, going to my akhirah, I'm going to be alone. What if somewhere, because of the money coming in, my intention has changed and everything is finished? So he said, I kept making dua to Allah Ta'ala until one day somebody passed away and in inheritance, I received such a huge piece of land which costs, you know, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of whatever it was, rupees or whatever it was. He said, I sold the whole land and I gave all of that money. He said, I had some debts to pay. I paid off my debts and I gave all the rest of it back to the madrasa that I used to teach in. And I said, all my years of wages that I had, this is going to make up for all because now I am so happy. That if I die now, inshallah, all of that has been for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my darkhast and request is everybody makes dua for myself and we all make the intention, okay, we want to do good work for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not have any other intention or motive behind that, inshallah. So, karenge na, inshallah. Allah ta'ala mujhe bhi sab ko tawfeeq, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, subhanakallah, alhamdulillah, shukran.